Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So here's our topic today, and this I think this will be interesting. In American society today, no one is taught an actual way to create success in life. Just think about that. I've been giving this a lot of thought, and let me say that again. In society today, nobody is taught how to create success in life. Not taught in grade school, not taught in high school, not taught in college, except one place that I know of. But it's just not taught, yet it is so simple. And of course, this comes from the top book, The World on Success by a Factor of 10. You just create immense clarity about your life, exactly the person you want to be, exactly what you want to accomplish, and precisely how you're going to achieve your clearly defined goals. And then you feed that to yourself every day, and it takes 12 minutes a day. And then after 21 days, the right actions happen automatically. And then those upgraded daily actions create the life you want. And this works whether you're 16 or 60. And, you know, but the point I guess I'm really making is that people today don't have a conceptual understanding of how to create success in their life. They can't explain it. They're just winging life. And again, it is so simple to just create immense clarity about your life and feed it to yourself every day. And that then factors in that 95% of your daily thoughts and actions are unconscious. And that's the repetition that the subconscious mind needs to then influence those unconscious daily actions. And I see that when you look at this on an individual basis, each person really has two challenges. First of all, they can't intellectually describe how they create success. And secondly, even if they could, they don't have an actual way to do it. And that's exactly what Think It Be It is about. And this has sort of come up as I was mentioning before we went on the air. I see that there is a huge market in China for Think It Be It. Because in China, the people are really serious about success, way more serious about it than here in the United States. Now, here in the United States, everybody, you know, talks about success and it's in the nomenclature, but it's merely a preference. You know, people in the United States and people in general, I guess, are lazy. You know, sure, I'd love to be more successful. Well, no, I don't love to be more successful. I'd like to be more successful, but it doesn't happen. No problem. That is most people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think most people, it would be great if.
Yeah.
But, you know, the work that it takes to create that, you know, for themselves or you know, that's where the, you know, or the know-how or the success formula, not having that or, you know, all of those things contribute to that it being a mere preference versus it being a necessity. You know, it would be, it would be nice to have versus, you know, I must have this.
Right. Well, and you know, it's sometimes hard to delineate between the people that it's a necessity and those that it's a preference, because you can always see what will people do. They will talk a good game, but what do they do? And I think one of the challenges, certainly for myself, and I think for you as well, is that we oftentimes assume that everybody's like we are. And I have really gotten that lesson that they are, that people are not like we are. And so, you know, I'm taking, think it be it, and expanding it here in the United States by going on big podcasts. And, you know, I think I told you, I find this fascinating, that back to earlier this year, there was a book that this wide receiver that was in the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles, they saw him reading this book on the sideline of the Super Bowl, and the announcers, you know, see him doing it. They figure out what book it is. And that book had been written 15 years ago to no critical acclaim. It shoots up to number one book in the country. Well, why did that happen? Well, and this is a problem I think we have in this country. There's so much clutter and there's so much stuff coming at us that literally we can't see the profound from the mundane. It's gotten to the point where this society is so overloaded with information. This concerns me long term that we can't even, you know, distinguish the profound. And I see that the only way Think It Be It evolves is to find a little niche, sort of like the Super Bowl example. You know, like if I get on, let's say, Ed Milet's podcast, he's got a million listeners. Well, that begets getting on another podcast, a big one. And that conceptually is how Think It Be It could become more widespread in the United States. And I'm going to do that. And I hope it works. If it doesn't work, doesn't bother me, because I've got my whole world at the University of Texas that I'm expanding, and that's great. Fortunately, my class is on a waiting list to get in, which is cool, and so that's great. But you know, as I affirm in my Life GPS template, I want to take Think It Be It to its maximum, and I see that there's an angle in China through a friend of mine that has a connection that does speaking tours in China, and they would eat this up for a variety of reasons, just mainly because they're more oriented to success. And where, like, even in my at the University of Texas, the Asian students all flock to Think It Be It in a way that the American students do not. And so I don't know, I just find fascinating the difference in cultures.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's an Eastern component, you know, where I think there's more of a open-mindedness to some of the different concepts that we're talking about. You know, even though they're so backed by science, you know, there is, you know, I think part of the, I wouldn't want to say pushback, but part of the resistance for people may be that they put it into the manifestation category, and so it feels woo-woo and all of that, whereas in that culture, you know, they're much more receptive to that, even though this is, you know, it's understanding much more about the brain. What I think is interesting that I do want to point out is, you know, you were talking about there's so much clutter, you know, and there's so many things out there, it's hard to break through. You know, one thing, and I am somebody, as you know, who's focused on growth. I am always looking at, okay, you know, new books that are out there with new techniques that are in topics I'm interested about. And, you know, but I would say over and over and over again to anybody, I use this methodology to then implement any of those new concepts, strategies, or ideas that interest me with some of that. Like, this is the foundational. Because what's happening right now, and I know every single person listening knows this, is you read a book, or you listen to the book on audio, or you take a little online course, or you go to an event and you are excited about the material you're learning. Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Oh, this is a... And then as quickly as you close the book, because you are so inundated and distracted with the next idea, the next thing that you need to do, we live in that reactionary world, that whole idea about, oh, this is a good idea, this is something that could make a difference in my life, goes out the window the minute, as soon as the thought comes in, it's back out through the other side because of the world that we live in now. And what I want to say to people is, like, this is the methodology that helps install any of the cool stuff that you're, you know, picking up or you're hearing about. They're like, oh, Batman, that would make a huge difference in my life. Or this is a habit that I want to add in. Or this is the mechanism that is, you know, is the delivery vehicle that helps you implement all of the other things that you're learning. Because I think that's the frustrating part when I talk to, like, people who are focused on growth. And I don't even necessarily mean the 2% that we talk about.
Right.
It is the fact that there's so much out there. They're looking for a quick fix. This book, this newest book, this newest thing, this newest concept is going to be a thing that makes this huge difference in my life. Only to find out that the very thing that we're talking about, with 95% of your, you know, thoughts being unconscious, you know, you're falling back on that old behavior. Like, you're set up to not implement all of these things that you're excited about learning. And as you're talking, that's one of the things that I'm thinking about when you're talking about how crowded it is and all of this. Like, this is the mechanism that helps you integrate, you know, all of these all of these things that you're learning, or strategies or business ideas. And this is the thing that helps you integrate all of that and to be able to do it consistently so that you can have the type of progress that you want to make. Because I think the other thing too, John, I'll say on this and then I'll let you weigh in, is I think we also have, like, an epidemic of people who aren't keeping their word to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they get excited about this book. I'm going to do this. This is such an exciting concept that I want to integrate in. And they do it for a week or two consistently. And then all of a sudden, life happens and they forget 6 months from now that, oh, yeah, I was doing that. And that was a great, you know, so I think, and then each time you do that, it chips away and erodes at your confidence in yourself. So it's this circle that I'm talking about. But what are your thoughts on that, as I'm kind of sharing my thoughts on all this?
You hit on like three things that I think are brilliant, or that is so true, that this methodology is how you take those things that you learn from brilliant people and apply them to your life. So true. And you know, it all comes back to the fundamental thing that 95% of your daily thoughts and actions are unconscious. Because think about this. Think if it was the other way. Say 95% of your daily thoughts and actions were conscious and 5% were unconscious. Well, you go to a seminar and you learn this or you learn that, and you go, okay, I'm going to implement this into my life. Great. Well, 95% of your thoughts and actions are conscious, so your intellect and your intelligence is involved. Boom, you're able to do them all the time because, again, it made sense to you. You're like, okay, this makes sense. I'm going to do this so that you do this. Well, that would be great if 95% of your daily thoughts and actions were conscious. But the exact opposite is true. That's why when you find that great idea and you say, boy, this is a great idea, I'm going to implement it in my life, that's the 5% that's conscious. Now, to make it happen and show up every day in your life, you've got to somehow take control of your unconscious to make it conscious. One of the things that's interesting, so I am finishing teaching my class this semester, and I've just been reading over the assignment where they really have to articulate what they have learned in the class. And I see that I have probably done a poor job in explaining part of this, because I see that virtually none of them get it. And here's the point I want to make. And this really has hit me over the last 3 months. Our methodology has always been based on 95% of your daily thoughts and actions are unconscious. But I would say that, and I think largely it's like one of those statistics that goes in one ear, out the other. It's just another statistic. And I lately have been trying to give a little more clarity around that, around this idea that in living your life, it's all in the moment. It's all reactionary, whether you're talking about your daily life at work or your marriage or your health. It's all in the moment. And I see that what you're really doing here with this methodology, by what you're reading, is you're making more of the 95% conscious. You're changing that percentage. And as an example, I told you the story of, you know, with Ginger and I and me being impatient with dinner, and how, you know, I from reading my Life GPS template, at the first hint of my impatience, an unconscious thought bubbles up to my conscious mind to go, John, here's a chance to be patient. So be patient. And then I am patient. All from that bubbling up of thought happening from reading my Life GPS template. But what evidently I didn't explain well enough to my class, and I did not do a very good job in the first version of my book, which I'm going to update. I'm in the middle of updating it right now, is that's the point I want people to get, is that from this methodology, you are taking so many of those actions that today are unconscious and not controlled by your intellect and intelligence, and you're changing it to where suddenly they become conscious and subject to your intelligence. Is there any better way to explain this? So you follow me on this?
Yeah, no, I totally follow you on it. Yeah, and I'm just processing, but I know, I don't know how else to describe it than how you just described it. Yeah.
Well, and it seems perfectly clear to me, but you know what's funny is it's me, not them. When you're looking at every one of them, and I ask literally a question on the exam, was, so what is the implication of 95% of your daily thoughts and actions being unconscious relative to your intelligence and intellect? Boy, I thought they would just give that. I mean, I'm basically giving them the answer in the question, but they did not get it. And so tomorrow is the last class. I am going to hammer this point with them so that they don't leave under my control without grasping that. But I dare say that anybody that's read the book or is doing our methodology probably doesn't have that understanding to the degree I want. And in fact, for years, I sort of would say that you're not changing the 95.5. Well, the more I understood it, the more I saw, oh, but you are. You are absolutely changing it. And, you know, so what is the percentage after you do this methodology? I don't know what it is. It may be 70% unconscious, 30% conscious. But the significant thing is so much of what's going on unconsciously is like your heart beating and biological functions and all that. Well, that's fine. No problem, that stuff being unconscious. It doesn't affect you one way or the other, but you probably got 50 intentions and desired actions, and what is that as a percent of all the things? I don't know, but if you can get those 50 things to happen consistently instead of sporadically, that's the difference between the exceptional life and the average life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just something to think about. The other thing that I would say that maybe I want to do a better job with my class, and this place applies to the people doing our methodology, is you need to get the Think It Be It app and track your key behaviors every Sunday morning, because a key part of this, as you know, is you've got a separate goal for your health, a goal for your career, and a goal for your romantic relationship. and it's a new goal every quarter, and you're defining your key behaviors, well, you have got to be dialing in a little accountability. Am I doing the key behaviors? And in the app, it allows for 7 key behaviors. And every Sunday morning, you just go into the app, takes all of about 1 or 2 minutes, and you just rate yourself for the week on that. And then once you rate yourself, you compare, okay, here's how I did this week. Here was the goal. Maybe here's how I've been doing. And you get clarity. Oh, I got to improve on this, or I'm doing fine on that. But that, and I know you're a big believer in accountability, aren't you?
Yeah. Not only am I a big believer in accountability, but I think there's one layer to that that, you know, we don't talk a lot about, which is when you are doing the tracking on a weekly basis, this is also a really important part for your brain. When you're celebrating, when you are checking off that you are doing these key behaviors, you are creating new like neural pathways. You're giving positive feedback to your, you know, which is all of this is happening to underneath the surface, you know, in that subconscious space. But you are getting that feedback that you're getting from filling out that tracking is a huge motivator to continue to go. So not only is it accountability, we're like, you'll see trends. You can recognize and go, huh, interesting. You know, I'm always hitting 4. What's keeping me from not hitting all 7 days, but I'm hitting 4? You know, and then we'll allow you to kind of do some tweaking and some evaluating. But there is the psychological benefit that happens when you are going in and checking off that you did it and you're reinforcing that positive behavior.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many important aspects to that tracking, but that's one that often goes unnoticed. But we all get a little hit, you know, of serotonin, you know, or dopamine when, you know, we're checking off that we got that done. And again, it just that wants you to, it helps you continue to want to do that until you don't need it anymore because it's just part of your everyday, you know.
I see that it's just, I've been doing it for 20 something years. I haven't had the app for 20 years. I used to keep tracking on the bottom of the visualization, but the app makes it super simple. So you want to make sure you have the app and you're doing that. The other thing I would say is if you want to listen to your live GPS template, you really need to get Speechify, because now I listen to my live GPS 6 of the 7 days. And in a lot of ways, there's some advantages to reading it, I think, because you can go faster or slower, read something again. I think that's great, but I see the power also of listening to it, except with listening to it, you really got to pay attention to it because it's easy to get your mind distracted. And so I guess all things considered, I think reading is better than listening, but maybe a combination of both is good. But Speechify is so good because if you're like me and you change your live GPS template once a week, that can be problematic if you're having to re-record it every week. But with Speechify, all you do is you make the change on the template, print out the template, put it on my nightstand in the frame, and then upload it to Speechify, and boom, now you can listen to it on your phone and the changes are made. So that's the power of Speechify. So
I know there's some other cool tools out there that will record your voice. Like it'll be in your voice too, because I do like mine in my voice versus somebody else's.
Yeah.
And I also, but I don't change mine every week. You know, I'm maybe every month, you know, I'll change.
Right.
And then it's a good exercise for me anyway. I'm reading and I might as well read it out loud, record it while I'm doing it. But the other thing that I added into the audio version is at the beginning, before I start reading my visualization, is I have incorporated Huberman's technique.
Mm-hmm.
Where I say, Kelly, remember, you are the type of person who always does what she says she's going to do.
Yeah.
You're the type of person who, so it's still, you know, and then I go and I read through, you know, and have that. So I've kind of incorporated, you know, a 3 like key statements that I do in the you. And then I read my visualization, my GPS life template out loud and record it. And then I listen to it in my own voice every day. So
yeah. Well, whatever works. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Work.
You just keep, that's the fun part. Once you get the fundamentals under your belt and the foundational, then it's fun to experiment and to tweak and to look at ways to optimize it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, there's some tips. And so we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.